My name is Nadine. I'm from Beirut, Lebanon, which is in the Middle East. And do you have any Arab participants? Is there anyone here from the Middle East, North Africa? Yes? One? Two? Okay. I want to talk a bit today about using technologies to work with issues that are very taboo and to do some underground organizing because, as I'm sure you've discussed, the internet and other spaces can be safe for anonymity and for women to express themselves and to meet and to talk when it comes to sensitive issues. But also, at the same time, it can be very insecure. You know, things like there's a lot of talk about Facebook being used for malicious reasons. There's a lot of talk about, you know, hacking and big corporations that have access to our private information. And to give you a bit of background about what I do, I run a feminist organization in Lebanon, which is focused on youth activism, and we work on sexual rights. And I also run a lesbian community, which is called MIM, also based in Lebanon, but we also provide support for lesbians and other queer women around the Arab world. And as I'm sure you might know, homosexuality is illegal around the Middle East. Heterosexuality is illegal around the Middle East as well. Any form of, you know, sexuality or talking about issues that are not just, you know, gay and lesbian, but also matters related to women's bodies, to abortion, to, you know, sexual health education, all of these things are extremely illegal. In some places, you get killed right on the spot. Especially in the Arab Gulf, in countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Emirates, Qatar, in Iran, a woman can get killed for talking to a man who's not, you know, her husband or her, you know, a close family relative. So when we're talking about these things, how do we talk about technology when women don't really have access to each other or don't have access to talk about the taboo issues? How can we use technology to help? The first issue that's very important is online security. And I'm sure you've been talking a bit about online security, right? Yes? So in the Middle East, there's been a lot of crackdowns on blogging. There are some countries like Syria, like Egypt, where if you're a blogger, you're threatened, you're constantly monitored by the government. The government monitors every blog that you post. There's also a lot of crackdowns on gay websites. Things like Gaydar and Menjam. If you go in and post a profile, then probably the police will post another profile and try to catch you. And I know a lot of men who've been either killed or, you know, thrown out of the country for just having profiles on personal websites. So what we do in Lebanon in terms of mainly lesbian organizing and feminist organizing around sexual rights issues is we use the internet a lot. And one thing that we've learned is that it's not always, you don't always go online to find the people that you need to target, but also if you have the right system set up, the women will find you. And it's crazy. Because a woman who really needs help, who needs to find out, you know, where she can get a safe abortion, who needs to find out, you know, where other queer women are so she can meet and connect to them, who needs to access resources, will do everything she can to find your resources. So something that's very important is to have your website safe. And one thing that we do, so during my talk, I'm just going to run through a bunch of strategies that we use, and you could find them helpful, maybe. And when I'm done, maybe some of you would like to share their own strategies about securing their online media. So one thing we do is, you know, every few months that we set up a website that has to do with sexuality, a government will immediately find it, and it will block it. And especially in some countries where the government has monopoly over the internet service providers, they can very easily block out a website with sexual content. And the funny thing is they don't block the pornography websites, but they block websites, you know, that deal with education about sexuality. So what we do is we host this website somewhere in a safe country, like in the US or in Europe. So that's where the server is. And then you've got the domain name that points using a name server to the server. And so we host up mirror websites on different servers. And whenever one country figures out, okay, this is an evil website that talks about lesbians, and they block it, so nobody can access it, then it takes us something less than 24 hours to repoint the name servers to another server that has the same exact website. And that usually buys us maybe 2 months or 3 months, and then another government from a different Arab country, you know, finds that website, blocks it again, and then we keep on doing that so that the information is still there. The downside of it is that it hurts you with Google sometimes. It hurts you with your search optimization, but, you know, that's a measure that we have to take. Also, something that we've learned that's very important is backing up all our information. And I would recommend that you actually have backup policies in your organization so that it's mandatory, that you don't lose your information. Password every single thing you have with very complicated passwords, your USBs, your drives, your email accounts. And I would recommend also a very useful resource from an organization called Frontline that's based in Dublin. I don't know if you know it. Frontline works with human rights defenders, and they have this amazing toolkit which you can they can mail to you or you can download it online. The website's frontlinedefenders.org, and you know, it teaches you how to encrypt your forms online, how to encrypt your data on the computer and your passwords, and it helps you with the security. Another thing that we've been doing, which is a bit strange, is we've been investing in some of our members to become hackers, and anti-hackers as well. So I think hacking is, you know, it's a tool that's out there. It's mostly used by little boys sitting in their bedrooms and hacking big websites. But also the government gets hackers on its side, and they use that to get into your information, especially when they want to raid your office. If you're working on a sensitive issue, then probably they're monitoring what you do. A lot of our phone calls get monitored in Lebanon. So what we've been doing is finding the young women in our group who are, you know, techies, like some of you, and investing in getting them to learn how to become hackers, to become anti-hackers, to protect the website, which has been hacked a number of times, and we keep on installing things on there that prevent it from being hacked. Also, another thing you can use the internet for is emergency plans. Now, I don't know how many of you... can I see a show of hands? How many of you deal with sensitive topics that are monitored by your governments? Okay, cool. So what we've done also with emergency plans is we've automated them online. How? I'm not sure. That's for the techies in my group. But we have a system by which we send a single email, and it goes simultaneously to organizations like Frontline, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, the Urgent Action Fund for Women. We've got all of them set up on Skype, and we do drills sometimes, and they're getting quite bored of us. But what we do is we simulate that something's wrong, and we're also trying to get these organizations to understand better how to respond to emergency situations. So we also have a web to SMS feature that's really cheap, where you have, if you have an immediate action, such as, you know, there's a parliamentary meeting that's happening and you need to get 200 women on the street, you know, within 24 hours. We also have things where at the click of a button, you can send alerts to everyone, emails to all the important people, and chain emails to the people who need to know what to do. And to talk a bit about community, building communities online. The work that we started doing mainly, again, was to find Arab lesbians, which are very hard to find, although we estimate there's over 7 million of them. We've only found about 300 so far, so we've got many, many more to go. And the way to find them, of course, is online, because we cannot go anywhere in the media and say, you know, we're a lesbian group for support. If you'd like to contact us, call this number. That wouldn't be a safe thing to do at all. So what we've done is we've set up these online forms, which we've also encrypted, that are also for women to find us, and they find us using, you know, amazing methods. We also work a lot on the SEO of our website, which is the search engine optimization, which you can do to get your website to generate more hits. So basically, you link out as much as you can to other websites. You find the exact right keywords that you want to put in there. And Google has a lot of free products that you can use to get your website the visibility that it needs. And also, when people are online, there's a sort of safety there if you give them this real safe environment. And I'm sure Jacques has talked about this already, right? When you're online, your body isn't there, your ethnicity isn't there, your religion isn't there, you just create this new persona. And a lot of the times, the women find this power to speak and to express themselves and to report crimes or rape or harassment or sexual identity issues that can be very useful. But what's also very important is that you can translate that into creating actual programs. So it's not only this vacant, you know, space online where people are talking, but also that they can actually eventually meet somewhere or get face-to-face support that they need. Okay, to go back to the Facebook issue, we actually don't use Facebook. I'm sure a lot of you do. But we found it, you know, an extremely invasive place for privacy. And what we use instead for online support group is MySpace, which was here before Facebook. And one thing that one of our members was able to do, he's a transgender man, so he's a female-to-male transgender. And in the Arab world, you have absolutely no resources about that. So he was able to set up this MySpace page that, you know, had maybe two friends on it, and it talked about transgender support. And within, you know, 3 or 4 months, he had over 600 members of this page from everywhere in the world, especially in the global south, who were talking about things. And MySpace has more of an anonymity to it. So you don't need to enter, you know, your full name, your country, what you do, your interests, your political views, your religious views, which are really suspicious things for you to enter on there. And also a lot of the open source stuff that we've used, and I'm sure you've talked a lot about open source, right? Open source is something fantastic, and I think it's the most feminist thing about the internet because it's a community of programmers who get together, and they actually keep on fixing the program and adding things to it, and it's completely for free. So, you know, it counters things like Microsoft and Windows and all these big corporations. And there are some amazing tools via open source that we use, such as Drupal and Joomla and Mambo, where, you know, by a couple of clicks, you can set up an entire website, and you can set up those really cool, funky things that websites do, like, you know, web calendars and meetings and forms, tracking technology, all of that. Surveys, polls, also other examples, the forums for the discussions, the newsletters that you use. Something we've been working really hard on doing is using online media as well. And this I actually learned from some of the groups working in Malaysia, where they take online magazines really seriously. Because when we first started, I'm sure, you know, some of you has had these debates in your organizations. Is an online magazine just as good as a printed magazine, or do we have to print stuff for it to be more worthwhile and viable? And since, you know, print media is even more censored than online media, we've gone for a lot of blogs, and we've, you know, infiltrated Arab blogs with a lot of lesbian blogs. And we have a magazine that we produce every 2 months, which is a fully-fledged magazine online that's called Bakhsous. And it has articles in English and in Arabic, and it talks about lesbian issues happening in the Arab world. Now, one thing we've learned is that usually people get too obsessed about technical stuff that they forget the content. So it becomes more about, you know, maintaining a blog, let's put any post up there, let's put crappy stuff on there. And that stuff is really harmful because the internet and, you know, search engines, they filter out this crap because there's a lot of it online. And we mustn't forget the quality of the content that we're writing. So you should treat online magazine, online media just as seriously as you would treat media that you're going to spend money printing out. YouTube is something that we've also used, and I know some of you have been working on video and the video track. And one note I have to say about that is a lot of the times we think as activists, the first thing we think about is doing documentaries and interviews and sort of nonfiction stuff when we use our cameras and we edit and we produce videos. And a lot of the times we forget that we can actually do fiction and, you know, advertising, and instead of writing articles, write novels as well, or write poetry, or use our video spaces more creatively in a fiction manner. And that's very important for you if you're going back home and you're going to work on doing some videos. Do stuff that isn't just, you know, a documentary with facts, with statistics, with interviews and all of that. Do stuff that's creative. So write a story or write a novel or write a script and film it and put it online. Because there's a lot of that out there by, you know, the people we're trying to counter. And we should also have our own you know, fictional sort of, you know, community videos and audios and all of that. The last thing I wanted to talk about was using technology and mainly open source for things that are offline. So instead of buying accounting programs or documentation programs, we also use open source programs that are free to download, especially when it comes to human rights violations. So if there are some of you who work on human rights issues and you want to document and get statistics about, you know, the numbers of women being violated, their stories, their cases, there are some excellent resources online that you can download for free, and it helps you with the documentation of all of these cases. So one thing we're doing now is we've decided that in 4 years, we're going to go public to the Arab media with all the violations done against women in terms of sexuality. And for that to actually make sense and for us to do it properly, then we need to have a lot of data. And you know that getting women to talk is maybe half of the difficulty of the job. So we're going to work hard in these 4 years to get to document the violations of human rights that happen to women in terms of their bodies and their sexualities, so that when we actually go to the media and to the governments, we have these online programs that have sorted everything out and the data's there and there's statistics and there's numbers and there's all the information that we need to actually make a case. And that's mainly what I wanted to share with you today. So thank you.